eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On this week's episode of Unwritten.
Driven deep to left field. There it goes! See ya! Up against the windows. A long home run for Judge.
We are ready to assess the free agent class of 2022. Who made the right call? Who made the wrong call?
And it gets Duggar looking for his 10th strikeout of the night. What a finish to his first home start as a Met for Max Scherzer.
Hello and welcome to Unwritten from Odyssey and MLB. My name is Ron Darling. With me is Jimmy Rollins. Today we're talking all about the unwritten rules of money in baseball, contracts, free agency, arbitration, and how getting paid can change a player's place in the game. Seven-time All-Star Michael Young will join us. But first, I want to ask you, Jimmy, the numbers are a little different when I played, when you played. The numbers are always different as it keeps going on and on. But yes. What was your experience as a big league ball player and contracts?
You know, there are stages, obviously, when you're younger, to when you're older and feel like you have a right to ask and when I say ask for more money, you know, for your services and understanding the dynamics of, you know, them paying for future services and then paying for past services. And I think, you know, it's changed from when you were playing to when I was playing. I speak on that and I'll let you speak on your time. It was almost like you're always getting paid for what you had done in the past, weighed against what you may possibly do in the future and understanding that the time is running out. You know, you still had to do the at least 4.5 to 5 years before you thought about getting a long-term deal. And that's how teams treated you. And then, you know, you're going to compare the numbers to a guy that's playing your position, where they were in their career, as far as timing, their age, all those different things. So, you know, in today's game, which I think they're doing it the correct way, is they're getting a young player, trying to project them out for as long as he can and buying up his future. And they're getting a lot of money early, giving these kids security. But I don't know how to navigate that and as in what to ask for, because that's completely different as opposed to, you know, this guy got that at this age, at this point in his career. And that's how I'm going to compare myself from my past. And they're going to pay me for that and a little bit for the future. Today, they're buying out for the full future. So I think it's a great thing to happen. I don't think as much today as it was in the past that people don't talk about the money in their contracts. In the past, you know, some guys wanted to, some guys didn't, but it's all public knowledge. So all you have to do was, you know, Google. I don't even know if Google was around then, but, you know,
your agent could find out.
And you can find out what it is. So, I like the way that it's going as opposed to the past where you felt like you had to prove for 5 or 6 years and then just to get to that point and they say, were you too old to get, you know, a 5 or 6 year deal? We can give you 3 with an option, 2 with an option. So I like the way it's happening now. And hopefully that is something that continues to happen and, you know, paying the guys forward as opposed to paying for things they've done in arrears.
You know, Michael, it's not always an easy path to what you do on the field and what you think you should be paid by the team. That can sometimes get acrimonious at times.
For sure, especially when you go through the kind of what Jimmy was saying, you know, when we were coming up, it was the arbitration process, something players really look forward to. And the thing that was in vogue then was you can get a contract in your early years to buy out your arbitration years. And sure enough, a club's going to try and slap on one or two options at the end of that. And then you got to wait a couple more years until you're a free agent. And then even though you just ate those option years, now they're trying to convince you why you're not going to be worth it those 2 years at the end of the free agent year. So I think one thing that players are doing now, which I think is absolutely brilliant, is that this is 100% a business. There is no such thing as doing them a solid. None. Oh. You go out there and you whatever you think you're worth, you go and you get it and you let it eat from the beginning. So I agree with Jimmy. I think it's great these players are going to capitalize early. You look at Julio's contract with Seattle. It was super creative on both ends. So he's going to have massive security. But then again, if he maxes out on what his considerable ability is, he's going to have just a huge contract and something that he's going to be incredibly proud of. So I do like the way it's headed now when you're trying to project these players' future worth.
You'll love when I first started out after my second year, wasn't called a Super 2, but if you're a certain level of player, you could go to arbitration. So I went twice to arbitration, 2 years in a row. The first year I should have won, I lost. The second year I should have lost and I won. And both processes were so funny because the first year I went in there, and it was my first taste of your agent saying how much you do for the club, where you stand in the game, what other pitchers, you know, that I kind of relate to or, compare to. And then the team will come in and say, well, he really doesn't. We think he compares to this guy. And you're like, what? I mean, I don't compare to that guy. But I lost that first year. But my second year I won, and I'll tell you how I won. So the Mets made a big deal, and this was 100% true, that Dwight Gooden, when he pitched, would put fannies in the seats. And they said, he does not put fannies in the seats, so we don't think we should pay for this guy. So you have about 10 minutes to have a rebuttal where you can come back and say, hey, you either put people in the seats or, you know, he's such a good player, he should get paid this or whatever. We looked, and I pitched on bat day and hat day. So they had like 55,000 at Shea Stadium. So it kicked up my attendance above Dwight Gooden's that year, not because I was even compared to Dwight, but because I pitched on the right days, not the wrong days. So that year I won, and it was the first year that I won a contract for over $1 million. And I remember after I was done, and my dad's a foreman of a machine shop, for 50 years he was. And after it was done, you know, I didn't know, how do you act? Like I was telling my folks and my wife, I said, we should go have like a beer or something, you know, to celebrate. And she was like, yeah, let's go have a beer and let's call your dad and tell him. I was like, I don't think I can call my dad, man. This is a very strange thing, you know. This man has worked his ass off his entire life as a formative machine shop. And here I am, the silly little ball player after his third year is going to make, you know, bank. That conversation just can't happen. You know, he'll be proud, and I'll be happy, and I'll be proud and happy, but I don't think we need to ever have that conversation, you know? did you guys ever go to arbitration?
No, and that was something I was going to ask about, because I never went to arbitration. I've heard all the horror stories, excuse me, and I think that is one place that players don't touch. They don't discuss their arbitration cases. They may give a couple highlights. Can you believe these? MFR said this and that, and that's about all you get. So, you know, I had always heard, you know, you never want to go to arbitration. Unfortunately, I didn't have to go to arbitration. The Phillies, you know, kept me in on the good side of things, and we avoided that, and I got a contract. And I think maybe midway through my fourth season or somewhere around those lines. But why is it? Do you think that people or the players don't like to talk about arbitrations because it's something personal, where I know cases you've been busting your butt playing injured and they praise you in the clubhouse and then they get into the courtroom or whatever it is and they use that against you?
Yeah, I honestly think that would drive me crazy. I had a similar experience to Jimmy. I didn't go to arbitration either. I got my first contract, bought up my arbitration years after I think I was 2 days short of being a Super 2. So they bought up my arbitration years, and then I signed a second contract later on. But so I didn't have to go through it. But again, to your point, that would be tough to take. I think I would go in there thinking the same thing every player does. Hey, it's just business, not personal. Your agent gives you the little pump up thing to not take it personally. But the second that you're in there, and again, like Jimmy said, you play banged up, you try and do A, B, C, and D to help the team. And the second I think I would hear that from my own team, there's no way to go but take it personally. At least your initial knee-jerk reaction. I'm sure like cooler heads would prevail, but that'd be really, really difficult to do. And I think some players actually kind of feed off of it, and they take it into next year and use it for a little bit of fuel.
You know, Michael, I was thinking that you, of all of us here, went through a period of time where history was kind of being made. Alex signs that big contract in Texas. You guys are all there. And I think sometimes teams will use it where they'll say, hey, listen, we're paying this guy all this money. You know, there's not enough left in the kitty for everyone else. Did you ever have to go through that?
I did not, because okay. I was in my pre-arb years there. My rookie year was Alex's first year there. So I was there. My first 3 years were there when Alex was 3 years there. But I do know when Alex was there, I know Pudge went through it because Pudge didn't get re-signed. Palmeiro went through it because Rafi didn't get re-signed. So it was really, really interesting for established guys who were already there, who already had these incredible runs, and they didn't get retained. So, you know, the team's going to offer up a lot of reasons why that wouldn't happen. And I'm pretty confident that Alex's contract was one of those reasons.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Now the 2-1 pitch is swung on, and a high fly ball into deep left center field. Back goes Sheffield at the wall, leaps in the air, and that's gone. And so Michael Young, the kid from Los Angeles, comes home to hit a home run at Dodger Stadium, and that's got to be a lovely moment in his life. That's his first home run.
You know, I was just thinking, you guys I know are two guys that probably, when you took young guys out to dinner, you probably picked up the tab. What's the unwritten rule as far as the guys who make more money than others and how you pick up the tab? But sometimes you're out with the whole infield and everyone's making bank. And then you got to what? Put the credit cards in a hat? Like, what's the unwritten rule for dinner and paying?
I'll take this one first, because it becomes a complete role reversal from being the young guy, not knowing what the rules are. You're going out to dinner, and in your mind, you're like, all these dudes are making millions of dollars, and here I am making a couple hundred. And, you know, and sometimes you're the one that want to get the guys together. Hey, let's go out. You have a friend, you're at home, whatever, and you want to take them out. And so I know what happened to me. We're going out to dinner with all the older guys, Kevin Jordan, Brian Hunter, Marlon Anderson, Doug Glanville. We had Skinny B and Big B. Yeah, I played with both Brian Hunters, which was fun at the same time. So that's how I identified him, Skinny B or Big B. And we go out to eat, and I'm used to, you know, just everybody paying their own portion, you know, get the bill, breaking it down. And so the bill comes, and I go to reach for my wallet. And I want to say it was Rob Person. He grabbed my hand as if I was a criminal. He looked at me and said, "Don't you ever grab your wallet unless you're the highest paid player at the table." And so for me, that was a golden ticket. It's like, I cannot wait to go out with you guys every time on the road to go eat. But as you get older, and now you're the older player, and you go out and you have an infield, as you say, where everybody's making a whole bunch of money, even if you're not the highest paid player, I think it goes by ranking, like your importance to the team. Are you the number one guy? Are you the number two guy? And if you're the number one, you can defer it, like, "Hey, I picked up last time, it's on you." Not that you will ever do that, but you can. But I think as the roles reverse and you're no longer the young kid, you're the tenured player, and you have an important role, I think that person, whoever is the number one, number two, picks up the bill and you eat it. It could be $5,000. It could be $7,000. It could be four bottles of $2,000 champagne. You don't know what's on there. You know what you're getting yourself into. So for those who are listening, the younger players, you want to make sure that you go out with the older players initially, because one day that will be you.
That was, I literally, this is like the exact same thing that happened to me growing up, coming up through Texas. We had a lot of guys who were making a lot of money. I had the same thing happen to me. I reached my wallet. Someone grabbed my hand, wow, said, "You'll never pay for a thing again." And he just said, "Hey, listen, man, just do yourself a favor and, you know, make your mom proud. Likes lots of please and thank yous and all that cool stuff." So I was like, "Oh, I could do that for a free meal. That's easy stuff for me."
Easy.
But then sure enough, right, now you get a couple more years in. And, for me, it was, I had no problem paying for it. If it was my time, I think it was like Jimmy, the guys who kind of had a certain role on the team, you kind of just assumed that it was you. But then you go out with enough guys for the longest time, and all the guys who are, you know, if I was in Texas and it was me and Ian Kinsler and Adrian Beltre and everyone's doing okay, you know, no one's starving. It was kind of just, we kind of just mentally, "Hey, I got the last one, you got this one, you got this one." But meanwhile, the young guys are just sitting there kind of like, "Hey, when's dessert coming?" Right. They don't right, care what's going on. So that's when you know you're in a good spot, though. When you just have a lot of guys who are there who enjoy each other's company, like that's when you're in a, you know, that's money well spent right there.
You know, Michael, I was just thinking that you're on the other side of it now. You're working in the front office with Chris Young. Not that I want you to divulge any secrets, but it's got to be different, right, to be on the other side of it and looking at it really as players should have looked at it the entire time. They should have looked at them as a brand and a business. And you're working on the other side where it's business all the time.
Yeah. I think I was pretty consistent all along when I first got this job that when it came down to contracts, I wanted no part of it. I said, "You guys don't want me to be part of it because I want them to make every last cent they can. I can't switch that off. So you guys don't want me a part of this thing." So if anything, it was a lot of players coming to me. And once the team kind of understood that, they actually know that, you know, because the arbitration process can be kind of acrimonious, they were good about, "Hey, listen, well, go ahead. Yeah, I think it could be something good here where the player can have someone they go to in the front office they actually trust. And it can walk them through some of these steps where it can be smooth sailing for everybody." Because at the end of the day, that's the ideal goal, right? Everyone's happy. Team gets the deal they want. Player's happy with what he's making. And then we go out and try and, you know, hang up some W's.
That's you know what I find so interesting about these contracts that Jimmy alluded to, right? Trying to take care of these young superstars or the guys that you identify that is going to be not only a superstar, he's going to be an MVP type player. He's going to be great for your organization. He's going to stay healthy. All of those things that you have to try to identify. But can you imagine, Jimmy, being a 22, 23-year-old kid and you're making 25 a year?
Yes, I can imagine. I'm going to close my eyes right now. Can't imagine a young J-Roll getting that much money. And, you know, even more than money, just the security, because that's one thing when you're a young player, you're uncertain. You're still trying to prove that you can play here at a high level. You've done it in the minor leagues, probably every step along the way until that point. And you don't know where you fit into the politics of the organization all the time. Yes, you were in the good graces, but as a minor leaguer, now you're up here with higher paid players, guys that are established all-stars, maybe even won the World Series for this organization. Where do I fit in? And so to get the money is one thing. Yes, you know, we play to win, and ultimately that's going to be our livelihood when we're out of the game. You know, how much money we're able to retain, not how much we make, but how much we're able to retain. But having the security that I can take a deep breath and just focus on my career, going out to be the best player I can be because the contract is done. I'm here for 5 years, 6 years, and I'm good to go. I'm good to go. So I think in a lot of ways that gives players more certainty than we had. You know, we were, hey, you got to go out and prove it again. You had a great year. Here's a $5,000 raise. Here's a $50,000 raise. Go out and do it again. Where these kids are saying, even if you have a mediocre year, you know you're going to be with this next year because we believe in you and we showed you that by giving you that money. But when they get the money, I hope these kids are really have a great team and can help their money to grow and not just go out the window, because we're all going to go buy things, going to buy a house, a car, some jewelry, take care of the family. That's going to happen. And it should. You know, in what order you choose, that's up to you. But more than anything, putting the money in a vehicle that's going to help it grow. So when you're out the game, you have enough money to pretty much decide what you want to do with the rest of your life.
You know, Michael, there is something to be said, though, of playing with a little chip on your shoulder, being underpaid and knowing it. Sometimes, would you lose that drive if you made that kind of dough? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
It's tough to say, right? Because you look right now with guys who are making, you know, say a ton of money right now, right? I think that one thing that the league so far has done a good job of is identifying the players that are worthy of those contracts, right? And you have, and ideally, you have a team like, say, Seattle. You don't want guys to play 5.5 years for these teams and then go to LA, Chicago, New York, or Boston. You know, you want to be able to spread the wealth. You want, ideally, Major League Baseball wants every franchise to be valuable. Right. I mean, Seattle's showing. I mean, that's the home of Ken Griffey Jr. and Ichiro. I mean, they're showing it could be a really cool place to play baseball. So it's good that Julio is staying there. Again, it's a contract that makes sense for him, because think about it. You got a guy like Mookie Betts, right? Just a future Hall of Fame, incredible player, leaves Boston and goes to New York, right? Still got his money anyway. So you got Bryce Harper, leaves the Nats in Philly. Still got his money anyway. Manny Machado. There's guys like that exist. So now they're basically doing, these guys are going to, I think teams are recognizing when you have these generational type talents, they're getting their money elsewhere. So you have to make a decision if you're going to be the one to kind of pay him, because he's going to get it no matter what. Mm-hmm. So I think you look at, you know, a Tatis and a Julio, and, you know, Soto was potentially going to be in that category if he had signed his deal. So again, these guys are going to get their money anyway. They're going to get paid through their late 30s anyway if they're these unbelievable generational type talents. So if teams can do a good job identifying, Ron, to your point, to kind of personally on if they're going to stay hungry, because you can make the art that Trout and Mookie and Bryce are all staying hungry and they got a lot of money coming their way. So again, it's just identifying the individual and what he's kind of made of.
So true. I remember the scene from Goodfellas. I don't know if you guys remember the scene, but they just heisted the Lufthansa payroll, right? Mm-hmm. And all of them come to the bar to get paid that night. And Robert De Niro tells them, do not buy anything.
Don't buy anything.
Don't let anyone know what's going on here.
First thing they do.
Right. So,
first thing you did.
So for you two, because I know what happens when you first make a lot of money, you buy something, whether it's a house or whatever, but sometimes you buy something a little more luxurious, but you can't tell anybody because you got to play it humble. You got to play it as humble as you can. What did you guys buy you remember that you didn't tell anyone on the team?
I think, you know, for me, you know what I did, Ron? I always thought I was kind of smart when it came to money.
Yeah.
I had a house. The first thing I did when I came to Texas, I bought a house here so I can establish state residency here.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
But then I'm a California kid, right? So I bought a house in California, and I remember I was like, kind of 50-50. I'm like, damn, I kind of might have overextended here, man. I'm not making that much. I was still before year three.
Yeah.
So here I am with two houses, and I'm like, I don't know what I mean. I'm kind of like, you know, biting my nails a little bit. So the first deal that I signed, I actually did just to go to the house in California, and like I could stop sweating that I knew I could actually pay for the house that I was that I got. I kind of overextended for. So yeah, that was probably the only time I ever in my life I ever overextended, and I got lucky. I was able to pay for it.
That's
a few months after
smart.
That.
That's smart. How about you, J. Roll?
And it's good that you did it early too. You know, a lot of guys do that much later in their career.
That's right.
That I didn't tell anyone about. I mean, if you know me, I mean, not that I'm going to tell you about it, but you're going to see it. You're going to see it. But the first thing I did was paid off my parents' house, which was for me admirable. Then I went and got a 760 BMW.
Nice.
And I'd always said, I was like, because I like the 7 Series. The 745s were coming out, and I went to the dealership and it was like, well, you can get a 745 now, but we have a 760, the LI coming out. And I'm like, well, what does that look like? What's the difference? Explained to me in a V8 versus the V12. And I remember I went out to a club in Philly. This was right before I signed, and it was somebody from the Eagles there, and he had a 760 white, BMW 760 LI. Which was my car. The difference was he had black interior. I'm like, that's where you messed up. You got to have the gray interior with the 760. So as soon as I said, when I make over $1 million, that's going to be the first gift for me. Then I'll just start worrying about the rest. When I got my deal, I showed up about a week later in a white, Alpine white BMW 760 LI with the gray interior. And it was sweet.
Nice.
You know,
that's a good one.
BMW LI stands for lots more iron. That's what it stands for. hey, you two, is there anything you would have done differently, you think, as far as your contracts as a young player? Do you think you look back and go, boy, I wish I had done that, or I wish I had approached the team to do this, or are you happy how it went?
You know, for me, I'm happy I went. You know, I think when people talk about it all the time, when you finish playing, you kind of able to count your blessings a little bit. I'd have a lot of nerve to ask for more at this point. But I think to your point, Ron, like I knew I was outperforming my first contract. And I kind of had, like you said, a little bit of chip on my shoulder that I knew I could maybe, like, you know, take it to the hoop in the second one. It's hard for me to, I know I could have done better, but it's hard for me to regret it, right? Because it worked out. You know, I was super hungry for the next one, and it all worked out. So, no, I wouldn't change a thing. You know, it was a good relationship with me in Texas here, so everything worked out great.
For me, only thing that I would have done differently is waited before I signed my first year, because I signed middle of the season, and, you know, I'd always bet on myself. That was never any question about that. I think every player should bet on themselves. You should believe in yourself. And that's also showing the organization, in my opinion, that you have more to offer. You know, this is where they see you now, but just wait till I really get to my pinnacle and see what I'm worth. And the reason being is, you know, you're throwing this much money. And in my first contract, I was in between Orlando Cabrera and Edgar Renteria. So the money was right. There was nothing about the money. It was just, I wanted to prove that I can be better than them. And because if I do that, then that means I'm going to be able to make more money or ask more money and not be sandwiched in between. And it was probably, you know, like looking at all the numbers considered, it was probably right where I was slotted. But I'm always a guy like Mikey. It doesn't matter what you think I'm worth. I feel I can show you that I'm worth more. Now, whether you recognize that and I get rewarded or awarded for that is one thing, but I wanted to prove and prove out. And that was 05, then I had a great 06. And I would have been, if I went up to free agency, it would have led up to the 07 season, which obviously I won MVP. So what would that number have been? And seeing what happened to the shortstops right after that, Jose Reyes, Elvis Andrews, you know, guys that were coming in, they're getting $100 million. And I'm like, so you're telling me I'm not worth that. But that's the way it worked out. I'm not upset about anything. That's the only thing I would have done, which today's game, they don't make the kids wait. They project that out and they're paying them early. But then, you know, speak with my agents, like, if, you know, here's a lot of money. If you get hurt, the money comes off the table. You have to weigh all those things. And it's like, yeah, it's 40 something million dollars guaranteed. Like, why wouldn't I take that at the same time? So only thing I would have done is continue, like, as I did my whole career, just better myself and see where the chips fall. But sometimes they're throwing a bag at you. You got to grab it, dog.
You know, it's hard to look back because it's all time and place, right? It's a different time, right. A different place.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for real.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
High fly ball. Left center. Taylor on the run. On the track. At the wall. He's done it again. See ya. A walk-off home run by Aaron Judge. And the Yankees win 1-0. High drive. Left field. Going back. Cave. Turning. Walking. See ya. Number 55.
So I'm gonna bring it to contemporary, but I'll first start in 1941. Joe DiMaggio hits in 56 straight games. After the season, they asked him what he's gonna ask for in his contract. He said when he goes in, he's gonna say "Howdy, partner." Right. So I'm thinking about Michael and I were talking about this before we came on air today about Aaron Judge, and I know Jimmy, you just talked about betting on yourself, but is there anyone who's been in a better position than this young man right now?
I don't think so. I mean, he has stuck to his word and said, hey, we get something done before the year starts. These are my numbers, and you either see them or I'll go out and make you pay more. And right now, he is definitely going out to make them pay more. The number of years, we don't know, but he's definitely probably going to have the AAV that he wants, and that is going to be astronomical. He plays a position that's very demanding. He's not just a DH. He goes out there, plays center field. And I'm sure he has good defensive wars. He can run balls down. He can throw. He knows what he's doing. He's always in the right spot. So that's the type of player that I would want on my team. That's the type of mentality that I wish that all players have, especially if they don't feel the numbers are right. And it's usually for the medium to older players, not that he's old. He's, what, 30, 31 or something of that sort. But in a sense that he was a late bloomer, I think he still has so much more to give. And he's right. Look, you have a window to make this money. That is it. When that window's over, they're not giving you that jersey back. They're not giving those contracts back. So take as much as that window as you can and make as much as you can. And sometimes you have to understand, I'm going to bet on me. Yes, I've been injured. I've been that. But I know my body. I know how I feel. And I know what I still have left in the tank. And he's going out and proving that.
Yeah, I think I agree with Jimmy. Makes really, really great points. I think the biggest thing that Jimmy said that every kind of high-level big leaguer can relate to is that the good ones really do bet on themselves. Mm-hmm. And in order to bet on yourselves, you have to understand, for Aaron Judge to turn down $31 million a year, and he knows this is his last contract. This is it. Yeah. This is the one he's going to get. The level of confidence that man must have to say, no chance. 217 or whatever, 217, 218, whatever they reported, to say no thank you to that. I mean, no thank you. That's hey, mom and dad, you're good. Hey, brother, sister, you're good. Hey, great, great, great grandkids.
That's right.
You're gonna go to Yale just like Ron Darling. Good job, man. So, like, that's the level of confidence this man has, and to go out and have this season. I don't know Aaron Judge. Never met him. I am thrilled for him to be able to do this. And you talk about leverage. The team he's doing it for right now is the New York Yankees.
They know
they have to have Aaron. Like, after this season, they absolutely have to have Aaron Judge on their team.
Yeah.
Right? So, unbelievable leverage, because he's already one of the most unique position players of all time. People don't come around looking like this. I mean, I guess maybe Dave Winfield before Judge did. Like, I mean, it's super, super unique stuff that he's doing right now. So, I mean, he's got the New York Yankees and a bunch of other teams that are going to trip over themselves and try to sign him if the Yankees don't. So, yes, I would agree. I have never seen a player in this uniquely sweet spot in terms of leverage.
Yeah, he's going to be in an interesting place, because all of us that have gone through contracts know that you want to get the most years for the most money, right? But we've seen now the history of long-term contracts, and I'm talking about 10-year contracts, and where the player is at the end of that contract. They're kind of in harm's way sometimes, right, as far as you know, what they can do at 39, 40, 41 years old. So it's going to be interesting that maybe Aaron Judge might be the first guy that says, hey, just give me 5 at 60 and I'll take it to the house. I mean, he could be the first person to do something like that.
It's definitely possible. And it was funny. I was thinking of teams who can afford that. I mean, the Dodgers payroll is already extremely high.
Giants,
they're going to be dumping a lot of money, but do you want to go somewhere where they're kind of, do we say rebuilding? I mean, they were competitive last year, and look at the season they're having this year. San Diego just brought over Juan Soto, so you can't have two guys asking for $1 billion between them. You know, where does he go? I would love to see him come back west. I mean, he's from here.
Yeah.
We're West Coast kids. We like to bring everybody west. Oakland can't afford him, unfortunately. But you know, where does he go? Is Yankees, you know, really the only place for him that can really, we can say, truly afford to pay him that much money over that short period of a time?
I think we mentioned the Giants.
Yeah.
I would say the dark horse here, the extreme dark horse, would be the team right across town. Oh boy, could you imagine if the Mets hopped into this thing?
That's right.
That could get super dicey. So, again, I think he's got the Yankees right where he wants them. But again, I'm not a Yankee. I don't work for the Yankees. I don't know what they're thinking. I'm only speculating. But I mean, could you imagine if the Mets hopped in? I mean, that would be Aaron Judge's perfect storm right there, man. Perfect storm.
Oh, man. I mean, that's the key for him. I mean, at some point you think, and like, I don't know Aaron Judge. I don't know where he wants to go, where he wants to play. But it always works the same way. Got to get some teams involved. And if you get teams involved, then the mothership gets a little anxious. And that's all he needs.
Yeah.
Michael, 100%. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. J. Roll, always the best. Unwritten rules about contracts. I don't know about us. We're not supposed to talk about contracts. That's all we talked about. Thanks, guys. See you. Unwritten is a production of Odyssey and Major League Baseball. Our senior producer is Paul Aspen of Odyssey with Ian Kay of Major League Baseball. Lena Glazer is the executive producer of 2400 Sports at Odyssey. Jody Avergan and Nick Trotta of MLB are executive producers. Special thanks to everyone at Major League Baseball and Odyssey who helped make this show happen. If you enjoy the show, please leave a rating or a review in your podcast or player of choice. Or just tell someone about the show. For Jimmy Rollins, I'm Ron Darling. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back soon with more on baseball's Unwritten Rules.